Fundamentals of personal protective equipment. PPE is a key component of both SP and TBP. Personal protective equipment, PPE, is designed to protect the wearer's skin, eyes, mucous membranes, airways, and clothing from contamination with infectious agents after coming into contact with or providing care to residents. PPE is used by HCP, EVS staff, and food services staff. Based on local health department regulations and guidance as well as facility policy, visitors may also be required to wear PPE, for example, during an outbreak. The primary categories of PPE typically used in LTC facilities are gloves, face masks, respirators, gowns, eye protection. The selection of PPE depends on the tasks that are being performed and the anticipated level of exposure. In some instances, a single kind of PPE might be called for, a face mask or respirator only, or just gloves. However, at other times, multiple types of PPE should be used in combination to provide the desired level of protection. For example, if there is an influenza outbreak at the LTC facility, then face masks and gloves might be used by HCP who provide care to those affected. The type and amount of PPE needed at any given time will also be dependent on the kinds of precautions under which residents are currently living. All staff should be familiar with the PPE requirements of SP, but the IP should always be prepared to provide supplemental training if lapses in use are observed or reported. When implementing TBP, especially contact precautions or EBP, it is critical to that the IP ensures that all staff are aware of the facility's expectations about HH and appropriate PPE use, especially gloves, respirators, and gowns. The IP should be prepared to provide initial and refresher training for all relevant staff and also to take a proactive role in ensuring that appropriate PPE supplies are available. In accordance with OSHA and CDC requirements, the IP should be involved in determining when and what PPE is necessary. Depending on the administrative structure of the LTC facility, the IP may also be involved in or responsible for selecting and purchasing PPE. Regardless of the purchasing procedures, the IP is responsible for monitoring PPE use and ensuring that it is readily available to HCP when they need it. The IP is also responsible for writing usage guidelines and providing education to all relevant staff on correct PPE use. The PPE training program must include when PPE is worn, what PPE to wear, how to don, remove, adjust, and wear each type of PPE. Limitations of each type of PPE, care, maintenance, useful life, and storage of PPE. How and when PPE should be safely disposed of. Competency reassessment, no less than annually. When providing education or training, the IP should stress the importance of following manufacturer's instructions for use. For PPE to be effective, all users must follow these instructions. Key point: PPE is used by HCP and LTC facilities. IPs should provide education and training in correct PPE use and ensure that employees have access to the supplies they require. The IP should know the kinds of PPE that are most likely to be used in LTC facilities, which is largely dependent on the common activities for the facility. The three primary activities for which LTC facility staff will require PPE are providing resident care, cleaning and disinfecting the facility, especially residence rooms, cleaning and disinfecting reusable equipment, devices, and the environment. Additionally, the IP should be familiar with key regulations that govern PPE use and provision. The IP should also be familiar with how to track and maintain adequate PPE supplies, especially during emergencies and disasters. This requires close collaboration with other departments, procurement, for example. Personal protective equipment regulations and standards. There are a number of regulations and guidelines published by federal, state, and local authorities that relate to the use of PPE in healthcare settings. Some of these will be mentioned throughout this topic, but it is important to recognize that the IP is responsible for staying up to date on any regulations that apply to their LTC facility. To ensure that practices are compliant, various elements of the regulation should be woven into the education that the IP provides staff. Two of the most important standards related to PPE in healthcare were issued by OSHA. Bloodborne Pathogen Standard, 29 CFR 1910.1030. Respiratory Protection Standard, 29 CFR 1910.134. The 2001 Bloodborne Pathogen Standard is an update to the Needlestick Safety and Prevention Act of 2000. It offers expanded prescriptions to protect workers against hazards posed by bloodborne pathogens. The standard includes many relevant prescriptions related to infection prevention, including prescriptions for the handling and disposal of needles, employee vaccinations, and cleaning and disinfection. OSHA's Bloodborne Pathogen Standard mandates that masks, eye protection, face shields, and gowns must be worn whenever it is likely that an employee will be exposed to blood or bodily fluid, and that employees must receive appropriate training in all aspects of the proper use of PPE, how, when, and why. The standard also requires facilities to provide and maintain appropriate PPE for staff whenever it is needed and at no cost to the employee. Finally, facilities are required to conduct annual reviews of their exposure/infection control plans, which includes reappraisal of PPE stock, quantity and quality, selection, and provision. The Respiratory Protection Standard mandates that all employers must provide employees with appropriate, relevant respirators, including N95s, and training in their use at no cost to the employee. The standard also requires employees who use respirators to pass an appropriate fit test. Respirators are discussed in more detail later in this topic. Key point: PPE standards and guidelines apply to all LTC facilities that use PPE, HCP, as well as EVS staff. To ensure compliance, the IP should ensure that all staff receive appropriate training and education in PPE use. The IP must also be knowledgeable about local, state, and federal regulations that apply to their LTC facility. Personal protective equipment and standard precautions. Under SP, the most common kinds of PPE used by LTC facility HCP are gloves, gowns, masks, and eye protection. The use of PPE applies to all residents at the facility. The appropriate situations in which different kinds of PPE should be used are outlined in Exhibit 5-12. Exhibit 5-12. PPE use for SP. In all circumstances, HCP engaged in resident care activities should dispose of all PPE used in the care of one resident and then don fresh PPE before caring for the next resident. Any PPE that becomes torn or visibly contaminated, either during care activities or in the process of putting it on, must be immediately replaced. However, during national PPE shortages, facilities should follow CDC guidelines as well as federal and state regulations related to PPE use and the possible extended use and reuse. Gloves. The IP must impress upon HCP at the LTC facility that gloves are not a substitute for good HH. Per CDC guidelines, proper glove use incorporates HH immediately after removing gloves. This is because hands may become contaminated if gloves are not removed correctly, which can pose an infection transmission risk. If gloves become noticeably soiled with blood, bodily fluids, or dirt during use, then HCP should remove them, perform HH, and then replace them with a fresh pair before performing the next task. Gloves are also a critical piece of PPE for EVS staff. Gloves must be non-absorbent. Disposable gloves are preferred for everyday activities because cleaning, decontaminating, and storing reusable gloves is cumbersome, and improperly kept or maintained gloves can pose infection transmission risks. The exception is when heavy-duty gloves are required, for example, when handling waste or sharps, or when there is a percutaneous injury risk, in which case gloves must be carefully decontaminated after use and stored appropriately. As the IP has a responsibility for ensuring that staff have access to appropriate PPE supplies, they should provide appropriate alternatives to any staff members that have latex allergies. Many manufacturers offer latex-free alternatives, and the IP should refer to the manufacturer's specifications when determining which alternative gloves are most appropriate for use in their LTC facility. Gowns. Per CDC isolation guidelines, gowns should provide full coverage of the arms and torso, including the neck, reach to at least mid-thigh, and fit around the wearer so that they also cover their back, with no gaps. When HCP wear gowns, they must also wear gloves, which are typically donned after gowns and overlap with the top of a gown's sleeves. To ensure that staff of all sizes are provided with adequate protection when wearing gowns, LTC facilities should ensure that multiple sizes are available. Gowns should always be removed immediately before leaving a residence room, and they should be removed carefully so that any contamination on the outer side of the gown is contained and contact with skin or clothing is avoided. As with other types of PPE, gowns should be disposed of in designated containers. Masks, goggles, and face shields. It is important that HCP and other staff are familiar with the differences between face masks and respirators and the different situations in which each should be used. The COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in the colloquial use of face mask to refer to all face coverings, but there are distinctions which should be covered in the IP-provided PP education so that HCP understand when each should be used and why. It should be noted that personal eyeglasses do not provide adequate protection and are, therefore, not considered acceptable PPE. The use of face shields allows HCP to wear their own glasses while providing care. They also convey increased protection to the rest of their face. The CDC recommends that surgical masks be used in conjunction with goggles in order to provide protection of the nose, mouth, and eyes. Alternatively, a face shield may be used as it provides more protective coverage than goggles alone. The FDA regulates surgical masks as Class 2 medical devices. They must meet certain standards of barrier protection against fluids and airborne particulates, 16 CFR 1610.4. The FDA has approved surgical and face masks for source control, which refers to their use in covering the person's mouth and nose when they are talking, sneezing, or coughing to reduce the likelihood of transmission of infection by preventing the spread of respiratory secretions and large particles. Respirators. The most common particulate filtering face piece is the N95 respirator. Its name is derived from the fact that it can filter 95% of airborne particles. In addition to OSHA's aforementioned respiratory protection standard, these respirators are regulated by the CDC and NIOSH. A list of approved manufacturers is available for IPs and others involved in procurement. Based on OSHA standards, an LTC facility is required to provide employees with access to appropriate respirators as well as education for their use and annual reevaluation of competency. The OSHA Respiratory Protection Standard contains the following additional requirements for respirator use. Fit testing. Respirators are required to be fit tested for each individual who requires one. The fit test should follow OSHA guidelines, which have been supported by research and tests conducted by NIOSH. Fit tests should also be done in accordance with the manufacturer's IFU. Annual fit tests should be performed because studies have shown that, after a year, approximately 10% of respirators no longer fit the wearer. Additional tests should be done when an employee reports any notable changes to the shape of their face. Records. Both OSHA and NIOSH require facilities to maintain records of fit test results. Seal checks. Employees should be trained to perform seal checks whenever they put on a tight-fitting respirator. This ensures that the respirator will provide effective and appropriate protection while HCP are performing procedures or providing resident care. For this reason, employees with facial hair cannot be fit tested, nor can they wear a tight-fitting respirator. Staff should be instructed by IPs on how to use respirators, including user seal checks, sometimes referred to as a fit check, which should be performed whenever a N95 is donned to ensure that there is an appropriate seal around the wearer's face. NIOSH has published guidelines to help IPs and HCP identify when to use N95, or equivalent/higher, respirators and when to use surgical masks. Exhibit 5-13 offers a summary of when each type of PPE is recommended, as it applies to LTC facilities. Exhibit 5-13. NIOSH Respirator and Mask Use Guidelines. Certain medical procedures increase the transmission risk for respiratory pathogens because they generate aerosols. Aerosols are minute respiratory particles that are small and light enough to remain suspended in the air for long periods of time, travel beyond 6 feet from the source resident, and penetrate or circumnavigate surgical masks. Therefore, HCP are cautioned to wear N95 respirators during aerosol-generating procedures, AGPs. There is neither expert consensus nor sufficient supporting data to create a definitive and comprehensive list of AGPs in healthcare settings. Commonly performed medical procedures that are often considered AGPs include sputum induction and cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. Based on the limited available data, it is uncertain whether the aerosols generated from some procedures may be infectious, such as nebulizer administration or high-flow oxygen delivery. It is also unclear whether the increased risk of infection is due to the aerosols generated by nebulizer-related procedures or whether it is due to prolonged contact between HCP and infected residents during these procedures. IPs should identify the procedures that occur in their facilities. They should also institute a policy of keeping the room door closed when a nebulizer is in use. HCP should wear gowns, gloves, N95 respirators, and eye protection throughout the procedure. And relevant signage, indicating that PPE must be worn and how long before it is safe to enter without a respirator, should be posted by the door. A sufficient amount of time must elapse to allow for enough air changes to remove any potentially infectious particles. Donning and doffing personal protective equipment. In order for PPE to be effective at protecting staff and residents from infection transmission, the IP must provide appropriate education in donning and doffing, removing, the different kinds of PPE. The CDC has published clear instructions for how to put on and take off PPE, including the correct sequences for doing so. The correct procedures for putting on and removing gowns, masks or respirators, goggles and face shields and gloves is shown in the following images. These procedures are applicable to PPE used during both SP and TBP. Exhibit 5-14 illustrates the CDC recommended sequence for putting on, donning, PPE, and Exhibit 5-15 illustrates the CDC recommended sequence for removing, doffing, PPE. Exhibit 5-14. Sequence for donning PPE. Source: the CDC, Exhibit 5-15. Sequence for removing PPE. Source: the CDC. In addition to any written or printed instructions for correctly donning and doffing PPE, the IP should consider using a return demonstration approach to PPE education. This involves a live demonstration of how to put on and take off different kinds of PPE. It also involves attendees practicing for themselves so they may become familiar with the processes. Personal protective equipment and transmission-based precautions. CDC guidelines state that, during TBP, PPE should be worn when entering the rooms or units of infected residents. Whenever additional precautions are put in place, the IP must provide additional training to appropriate HCP, including refresher courses for any staff members who have worked under the same precautions in the past. It should also be stressed that SPPP practices continue throughout TBP. Supplies of masks, gowns, gloves, and other necessary equipment should be accessible 24 hours a day. All PPE supplies must be stored in a clean environment or in a covered or unclosed container, such as a covered cart or closed cabinet. What PPE is worn will depend on the type of infection or organism that is being controlled. All PPE should be donned prior to room entry. Facilities will have their own policies related to visitor PPE use, which will depend on the interactions they have and the length of their visit. When a resident is on TBP, all staff engaged in cleaning their room should wear PPE, even if the resident is absent from their room, has been discharged, or no longer occupies the room for other reasons. For example, when EVS personnel clean a room of a resident with a droplet-transmitted infection, for example, influenza, then they must wear surgical masks. As with other situations that require the use of PPE, it should be carefully and correctly discarded upon departure from the room. PPE use. In accordance with CDC and other agency guidelines, EVS managers and supervisors, in conjunction with IPs and other HCP, determine when personal protective equipment, PPE, is necessary, write use policies and procedures, and select and purchase appropriate products. They should educate EVS personnel about PPE, make sure PPE is available, and monitor use. The PPE training program must include the following: when PPE is worn, what PPE to wear, how to don, remove, adjust, and wear each type of PPE, limitations of each type of PPE, care, maintenance, useful life, and storage or disposal of PPE, written indication that the employee has received and understood the training, including record of successful return demonstration. Gloves, gowns, and protective face wear, masks and eyewear, are the PPE most commonly worn by EVS staff. Gloves, latex, latex-free, vinyl, nitrile, rubber, should be non-absorbent and impervious. Disposable gloves can be used in most situations, but heavy-duty gloves should be used if removing municipal and infectious waste. Reusable heavy-duty gloves must be decontaminated after use and stored appropriately. A fluid-resistant or fluid-proof gown, a mask, gloves, and protective eyewear are required when there is a possibility of splashing or splattering. Disposable PPE must be discarded into the appropriate waste containers after use. Soiled reusable gowns and gloves and other reusable PPE should be put in a designated place until they can be cleaned and disinfected. Reusable items must be disinfected at the end of each shift or sooner. Reusable PPE should not be stored in personnel lockers or removed from the facility. When cleaning and disinfecting the room of a resident on isolation precautions, personnel are required to wear protective apparel per the specified transmission-based precautions type, even if the resident is out of the room or has been discharged. For example, when cleaning the room of a resident with suspected or confirmed tuberculosis, EVS personnel must wear an N95 respirator. EVS personnel must not remove the PPE until they leave that room. Additionally, the doors to the anteroom, if present, and to the resident room must be kept closed during cleaning. Personal protective equipment disposal. There are standard procedures and regulations regarding the disposal of PPE. Individual regulations, however, may vary from state to state. The IP should, therefore, be knowledgeable about local, state, and federal PPE disposal regulations and guidelines to ensure that their healthcare facility remains compliant. As with all regulations, the IP should also be aware that they may change with changing circumstances, for example, during the COVID-19 pandemic or a local/national emergency. All PPE should be used once and then discarded in accordance with national and state standards before leaving a resident's room, after providing care, and after cleaning. The only exception is an N95 respirator used for airborne precautions, which should be discarded after leaving the room. EVS personnel should dispose of all PPE upon leaving a cleaned room. During times of national shortages, for example, during a pandemic, local, state, and federal guidelines and regulations may be changed to allow staff to reuse or extend the use of certain PPE. Designated containers should be placed in convenient locations based on when and where PPE is removed. And there should be separate containers for disposable and reusable PPE. PPE containers are typically kept by the doors of residents' rooms so that staff can deposit used PPE as they leave. Disposable items that are visibly soiled with blood or other potentially infectious materials must be disposed of in accordance with all federal and state laws. Reusable items, especially those that have been contaminated, must be placed in a dedicated receptacle and disinfected as soon as possible. For example, reusable gowns should be sent to the laundry, and goggles should be disinfected at the end of each shift. Reusable PPE should not be stored in personal lockers, nor should it be removed from the facility. As HH is always the final step after removing and disposing of PPE, IPs should also consider aligning the locations of PPE disposal containers with handwashing stations or ABHS dispensers. This allows employees to adhere to precautions without presenting any kind of impediment to adherence. Recall that the time it takes and the accessibility to the resources necessary to perform HH often influence compliance. When involved in transporting or receiving possibly infectious residents, HCP should discard any contaminated PPE before transport. Fresh, clean PPE should be donned when handling a resident at their destination, whether it is another healthcare facility or a new arrival at the healthcare facility. Personal protective equipment and disasters/emergencies. IPs are responsible for monitoring the supplies and stock of PPE, and they should work with the designated central supply person to ensure adequate supplies. The IP should also know how PPE use changes during a disaster or emergency, and this knowledge should be shared with relevant staff in the facility should an emergency or disaster arise. Training for emergencies should also be incorporated into the general IPCP as part of the emergency planning process. With disasters and emergencies comes a greater demand for PPE, both in terms of volume and also possible variety. There are many local, state, and federal guidelines for managing PPE supplies during an emergency or disaster, and the IP must be familiar with the regulations and guidelines that apply to their own facility, and they must incorporate certain PPE considerations into their emergency planning. IPs should also be prepared for conditions and guidelines to change, especially during prolonged emergencies, such as a pandemic. The proper use of PPE is especially critical during a disaster or emergency, when the risks for transmission and infection may increase dramatically. Improper PPE use has been associated with occupational exposures and illnesses during past emergency events, including the 2014 to 2016 Ebola outbreak, the SARS-CoV outbreak in Canada and East Asia, the 2009 H1N1 pandemic, and more recently the 2002 to 2004 COVID-19 pandemic. Noncompliance with PPE practices during infectious disease disasters may result from a number of factors. The IP should be aware of the possible causes of noncompliance, and they should be prepared to implement control measures either to avoid them or to address them as they are identified. The factors that can affect PPE compliance during an emergency include lack of awareness of changes in PPE recommendations. As emergencies evolve and more information is gathered and analyzed, it is possible that new recommendations might be disseminated by health authorities, local and federal. The IP should ensure that they are always up to date on these recommendations and that information is shared in a timely and accessible manner. Additional measures might include posting clear signage that features information about the new recommendations or providing additional training if time allows. New/different PPE combinations. Similar to new recommendations, it's possible that new combinations of PPE might be required. For example, face shields instead of goggles. The IP should ensure that all staff are informed about the new recommendations and that they have access to correct PPE supplies, including the correct sizes, depending on the PPE type. Lack of time. Depending on the severity of the emergency and the number of people affected, HCP may feel overwhelmed by their responsibilities, resulting in lower PPE compliance. The IP should ensure that all staff are aware of proper PPE procedures as well as the importance of correct PPE use, that it protects everyone at the facility and can help get the emergency or outbreak under control. And availability of PPE. In the event of a sudden emergency or disaster, PPE stocks within the facility and also more broadly may dwindle quickly, leading to necessary PPE being unavailable. The IP must work assiduously to ensure that the facility's supply of PPE is disrupted as little as possible and a stockpile of emergency PPE supplies is maintained. If supplies become insufficient, the IP, together with facility administration, should implement crisis standards of care for extending the use or reuse of respirators. Note, though, that this remains a somewhat controversial practice. Even after multiple studies during the COVID-19 pandemic, based on existing guidelines, including emergency use authorizations for reusing certain kinds of PPE, for example, decontamination of N95 respirators using hydrogen peroxide and ultraviolet UV light. Fatigue. During prolonged emergency situations, it is inevitable that staff will become tired, which can have a considerable impact on their performance. The IP can combat this possibility by ensuring that PPE supplies are easily accessible and that HCP have the support they need to maintain focus and compliance. Optimizing personal protective equipment supplies. There may be times when a facility has difficulty maintaining the appropriate levels of PPE. During the COVID-19 pandemic, as demand for PPE rose considerably, many healthcare facilities experienced significant shortages of necessary PPE. This highlights the need for IPs to become more sophisticated and forward-looking when it comes to managing their facility's PPE stock. The CDC acknowledges that there is no standardized measure or metric for ensuring that PPE capacity will be adequate for all eventualities. However, it has been proposed that IPs and facility administration place extra emphasis on understanding how and when they need PPE and on ensuring that facilities remain in contact with local healthcare coalitions as well as federal, state, and local public health partners to manage potential surges in demand. The CDC has also published guidance for optimizing PPE use and supplies, which all IPs should refer to during supply shortages. IPs can also turn to certain available tools that will help them become more familiar with their facility's PPE use. These include the PPE calculator and tracker developed by the CDC and NIOSH. Personal Protective Equipment Calculator and Tracker. The CDC offers a spreadsheet-based personal protective equipment PPE burn rate calculator for free via its website. The calculator is available in two versions. Version 1 is simpler, and it may, therefore, be better suited to smaller organizations such as facilities. Version 2 is designed for larger organizations/facilities, as it includes more functional options. This calculator allows the IP to generate estimates for how long remaining supplies may last, based on information entered about current PPE use and stock. Recently, NIOSH adapted the CDC's PPE calculator into a mobile application, which is available for most popular mobile operating systems. The application is designed to be a more user-friendly version of the PPE calculator spreadsheet, with some additional features. With the near ubiquity of mobile devices, it is also a potentially more convenient method for managing PPE supplies because IPs are able to update their information on the go. Based on facility-specific information that the user inputs into the application, or system, for larger organizations, NIOSH PPE Tracker app functionality includes tracking PPE supply by type, example, gloves, surgical masks, respirators, face shields, gowns. Tracking inventory, example, by box, individual unit size. Calculating PPE burn rate, example, overall, by PPE type, units, size. Calculating PPE burn rate based on number of residents and specific PPE requirements of the LTC facility. Estimating days of PPE supply remaining. Adding restock when calculating inventory totals. Easy sharing of PPE supply / burn rate data with others. Donning and doffing of PPE. The method for evaluating PPE depends on a number of factors, including the resources available to the IP, the size of the facility, and the method of monitoring that the facility employs. Ultimately, though, the IP is evaluating three key factors: availability and accessibility. Storage. Correct usage. If the IP is using electronic tools for tracking PPE supplies, then they should be able to generate and share spreadsheet reports and graphics that highlight PPE use more easily. However, direct observation of control measures is considered the gold standard of surveillance and evaluation, and the IP should, therefore, design an appropriate surveillance checklist for use in their facility. A checklist for monitoring PPE use should include the following elements that can be directly observed. Sufficient and appropriate PPE is available and readily accessible to HCP. PPE is used correctly. PPE, other than respirator, is removed and discarded prior to leaving the residence room or care area. If a respirator is used, it is removed and discarded, or reprocessed if reusable, after leaving the resident room or care area and closing the door. HH is performed immediately after removal of PPE. Gloves, HCP wear gloves for potential contact with blood, bodily fluids, mucous membranes, non-intact skin, or contaminated equipment. HCP do not wear the same pair of gloves for the care of more than one resident. HCP do not wash gloves for the purpose of reuse. Gowns. HCP wear gowns to protect skin and clothing during procedures or activities where contact with blood or bodily fluids is anticipated. HCP do not wear the same gown for the care of more than one resident. Facial protection. HCP wear mouth, nose, and eye protection during procedures that are likely to generate splashes or sprays of blood or other bodily fluids. Exhibit 5-16 shows a checklist for doffing and donning of PPE. Exhibit 5-16, Donning and Doffing of PPE. Source, CDC, Sequence for Donning Personal Protective Equipment, PPE, and Sequence for Doffing Personal Protective Equipment, PPE.